Good evening. I'm Jason Gerard, welcoming you to this live event. I'd like to thank everyone for taking time to join us. Tonight, Senator Amanda Cappelletti will discuss suicide prevention and mental health. Senator Cappelletti will be joined by Christine Stuttman, Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness in Montgomery County. Together, they will discuss mental health in our region and in our country, as well as some steps to help those with suicide prevention. They will take your calls live. As a reminder, if you have a question during the conversation, please press star 3 on your keypad. So without further delay, let me welcome State Senator Amanda Cappelletti.
Thank you so much, Jason, and thank you to everyone joining us this evening. I am Senator Amanda Cappelletti, honored to represent parts of Delaware and Montgomery counties in Harrisburg. Just as a note, we are speaking with the Executive Director of NAMI from Montgomery County, but please know that we have these similar and same services in Delaware County as well. And if you're just not sure where to turn, please feel free to reach out to my office. We will make sure we connect you with the appropriate resources, whatever the issue might be. So with that, I would like to welcome Christine Stuttman, the Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness in Montgomery County. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Senator. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me and my constituents. Would you like to share a little bit about yourself before we get started?
Sure. So I'm relatively new to this position here in at NAMI in Montgomery County. I've been here only 4 weeks, but I have 25 years experience working in community mental health studies in Philadelphia. So I'm very well versed in mental health and issues surrounding that. I'm still becoming familiar with the resources and services in Montgomery County, though.
Wonderful. We appreciate you making the switch here to Montgomery County and all the incredible work you've done elsewhere. Because, as you know, unfortunately, many of our lives have been touched by losing someone to suicide. I'm hopeful that by equipping ourselves with the proper tools, we can help those in our lives who are struggling. So could we maybe talk a little bit about how to notice signs our loved ones and are in distress and best practices for when we're concerned about how they're feeling and what their mental health status might be?
Sure. Yeah, so there are some warning signs for people who are thinking about suicide. Some things are making statements about wanting to die. Experiencing great shame or guilt. Some terrible things have been occurring on social media lately. People using pictures against others, often resulting in great shame for those people. I do urge any parents on this call that have teenagers or preteens to please be mindful of your children's social media activity. I know you've seen in the news that there's been recent issues with kids getting involved in things on social media that other people are threatening them, and then there's often sometimes some suicide that occurs after that. Also making statements that they feel like they're a burden. Maybe a partner has lost their job and now feels like a burden to the family. Overall, there's feelings of emptiness, hopelessness, feeling trapped, sad, more anxious than usual, or full of rage. And also unbearable emotional or physical pain. It should be noted that a lot of times people, after they've had surgery or an accident, there can be a lot of depression associated with that that event. And so to be mindful about what's happening with people as they undergo some physical issues. There's also changes in behaviors that you want to be aware of. Maybe somebody who's taking dangerous risks, driving really fast, or doing things that they normally don't do, physical risk. Making a plan or researching ways to die, withdrawing from friends. We often see this with kids who are in school. They may be in a bunch of different activities, and then all of a sudden they're fading away from those. And that's a good time to check in with your child to see what's going on. Saying goodbye to people. Giving away important items or making a will, those are things that we want to pay attention to. Eating or sleeping more or less. Using drugs and alcohol more often. Those are sort of the overall things that we want to be aware of when somebody's contemplating suicide, and this is the opportunity that we have to check in with them and ask them how they're feeling and, you know, find out if they have a plan, and then reaching out to get help. You know, you can call the local NAMI offices. They certainly will give you resources. One of the places that I wanted to offer was our Montgomery County Mobile Crisis, which that number is 855-634-4673, and that is manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so if somebody is feeling like they might want to hurt themselves, that number is available. I think that's about all I'd have to say about sort of the warning signs and what to look for.
So you talked about the mobile crisis unit. Are there other resources constituents in Montgomery County should know about?
Yeah, so there are some. So we operate a warm line Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And that's more for, it's not for crisis, so it's more for if somebody wants to chat or they're needing resources, they can call that number. And that number is 215-361-7784. And then Access Services here in Montgomery County also mans an adult warm line and also a peer teen talk line. And I can give those numbers as well. The peer teen talk line is, I think, is also manned 24 hours, 7 days a week. And that number is 866-825-5856. And then the adult warm line that they manage is 855-715-8255.
Thank you for that, Christine. I just wanted to, before we continue on this conversation, I just want to remind everybody to please press *3 on your keypad if you have a question and want to join our conversation. We'll be taking those at the end. So, Christine, do you have any tips on how we might approach a loved one when we're concerned about their well-being or they're starting to show some of the signs that you've talked about previously?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're seeing any of these things that I had mentioned in your loved one, I think it's best to approach them and ask them, you know, I've noticed these things, I've noticed this change, or you're withdrawing from friends, or, you know, whatever it is that you're noticing, I think to identify it with the person and be as empathetic as possible. It's very easy to feel scared and anxious about this, and so to come at somebody in a way that might be a little more aggressive because you're scared, but we really want to approach this with empathy. And so, you know, asking this person, you know, what's going on, hopefully they'll be able to talk to you, but then also giving them the resources. Nobody's expecting anybody to be an expert on this. And so, you know, referring them to the mobile crisis line or any of these chat lines that I've given you numbers to, where people who are trained in this can work with them. But I think it's very important to address it, to make sure that that person knows that you're noticing and that there's a change and that that you want to help them.
Thank you so much, Christine, for providing really good insight on how it feels and how to handle it from the perspective of somebody watching a loved one that might be struggling. I want to highlight a few other resources. In Montgomery County, we have the Central Behavioral Health in Norristown and the Lower Marion Counseling Center. My office has the contact information for either of those places, as well as the Monco Mobile Crisis Unit. If you need that number or information at any point in the future, again, please reach out to us. We're happy to support you. And for our friends in Delaware County, we have the Delaware County Crisis Service that's been longstanding in our community, and the Delaware County Crisis Connections team. We have a phone number that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There are also some national resources. Christine, could you talk a little bit about some of the national resources and changes that we've seen to provide support for people struggling with mental health?
Yeah, so there are some things that NAMI actually offers. And these are, I'm going to talk specifically about what our office does, but there's NAMIs all over the state, and they all offer similar things. So one of the things we offer is support groups. We have a connection peer support group, and this is for adults who are living with a mental illness. So it's peer-run, and they're trained by NAMI. And so they have a lived experience, and there's a specific training that they need to go to be able to operate these programs. And anyone can join. It's free. There's virtual and in-person options. And our website has the calendar of events. And so you can just go to www.office@moncopa.org. And you can see our calendar there. We also have family support groups. So these are for family members who have an adult loved one with mental illness. And then we also have OCD connection support group. So this is for obsessive compulsive disorder. This is a virtual group, but we offer that. We also have an anxiety and depression support group for Black and Brown women. That is only virtual, but we have that offering. We also have Wellness Wednesdays, where we have activities here at our office. It's the fourth Wednesday of every month. We may change that in November because that's right before Thanksgiving. It's from 12 to 2 in our office, and again, anyone can come. And all of these services that I'm mentioning are free. And then the other thing we have is our family-to-family group, which is an education and support group for families that have a loved one with mental illness. And this is an 8-week course, so it's a little bit more than I would say a support group, because there's a lot of education about mental illness, how it affects the brain, and then strategies for how you might cope with it with your loved one. That course started 3 weeks ago, but we'll be doing another one probably starting in January. And then the other thing that we do is we provide services in schools. We're in several of the area school districts. We provide a Ending the Silence program, where our education coordinator goes into the schools and presents about mental illness and how to identify it. She's in middle school and in high school. And then she also has a peer presenter. So somebody who has been struggling with mental illness will also present at those events. So it's a way to sort of touch with the teenagers and middle school kids about real life situations. And then we also have a Say It Out Loud program. This is basically a toolbox that we give to counselors and teachers to help them have discussions with their students around mental illness. So those are the programs that we offer. There are some other ones that we don't have the capacity to offer right now, but every NAMI office in Pennsylvania has some myriad of these programs.
Thank you for listing all of that out, Christine. That is wonderful to know that we have those options in our community to support individuals. If you're not in our community or you're worried about somebody who's not, you've heard that there is NAMI pretty much, you said, all over the country. It's a national organization, right?
Yes. Yeah, so the NAMIs are set up. There's a national office in Virginia, outside of D.C., and that's the national sort of umbrella. And then in each state, there's sort of another parent entity, and ours is called NAMI Keystone, which is located in Pittsburgh. And then in every county, in most counties, there's a NAMI affiliate, which Montgomery County is one of them. And that's the same setup in all the other states in the country.
That's wonderful to know. If you're having a hard time following all of that, not sure where to turn, you can also dial 988, a recent change and similar to 911. It's our nation's most comprehensive mental health crisis service and can absolutely be crucial in providing help to those in emotional distress. We also have the Safe to Say Something program, which is an app, a website, or a 24/7 crisis telephone line for young people and adults to submit anonymous tips, provides training on how to recognize the signs and signals of at-risk behaviors, especially within social media, which you talked a lot about already, Christine. So I thank you for that and hope you all find those resources just as helpful. I want to switch gears just a moment here because we just got through Halloween, which means that the holidays are coming up. And it can be a really joyous time for many of us, but it also can come with an additional set of stressors as we manage things like work-life balance, complicated family relations or relationship dynamics, or both, and many amongst many other things. How can we work to support our own mental health during the holiday season?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's very helpful to have your support system lined up. And so, you know, holidays can be challenging for people, and, you know, sometimes there's family relations that add stressors, or maybe somebody had died in the year or previous years, and the memories are really strong, and so it makes it tough for folks. So I think what would be most helpful is to make sure that you have a support system that you can talk to people. It can just be one person. It doesn't need to be a myriad of people, but maybe you have one person that you can identify and that maybe you've talked to beforehand and say, you know, can I reach out to you if I'm struggling? And if there is nobody that you can think of, then use some of these chat lines that we've talked about, you know, the warm line that we have, or, you know, some of the other lines that I've talked about. Utilize those if you have no access to somebody in your life that can support you.
Thank you. That's a really great tip that if you're not sure who to turn to, that we have plenty of friends on these warm hotlines that are willing to support you. I want to highlight some of the stuff that's been happening in Harrisburg. When it comes to mental health, it is something that my colleagues and I take very seriously. So I just want to highlight some legislation. And Christine, if you want to mention any importance of, that some of these things might be when we're talking about supporting those in mental health crisis, feel free to jump in. One of the things I'm super passionate about and had some interns kind of help look into this and help work on, called Mental Health Day for Students, Senate Bill 387, friend-sponsored by a friend and colleague, Senator Judy Schwenk. It would allow up to 2 mental health days per semester as an excused absence for students. As normal custom, it would be a parental note for the required day, but it's not going to be counted against you for truancy or necessarily need doctor's notes or anything like that. To see what kind of impact could that have on the students when they know that they can take a mental health day?
Yeah, I think that's very important. I think that, you know, school and studying can be very difficult, whether it's at the, you know, at the K through 12 or college level. I think, you know, there's a lot of pressures. It's not just about the academics. It's the social life that's going on. And I think that sometimes kids need a break. And I think being able to know that, hey, I've got some mental health day that I can take off and I don't need to explain it, you know, I think that would be very helpful for people and just being able to turn off for a little bit and regroup.
I agree wholeheartedly. I also signed on to Senate Bill 605 by another friend and colleague, Senator Maria Collette, legislation that would take recommendations from the Behavioral Health Commission on adult mental health and turn them into actual legislation, as well as expanding efforts to address the needs of our struggling youth. It includes money towards workforce development to improve our criminal justice system, as well as public safety systems, expanding access and service delivery, and putting money to evaluate the overall impact of these appropriations. I've also signed on to increasing student success with more school counselor support by State Senator Lindsey Williams, another friend and colleague. She doesn't have the bill number yet, but in addition to requiring a comprehensive school counseling plan, the bill spells out how counselors spend their time, requiring that they spend at least 80% of their working time engaged in direct and indirect services to students on days that students are in school. Services could involve academic advising, career planning, social and emotional skill building, intervening with students who are at risk of dropping out, orienting new and transferring students, and contributing to the decision-making teams and programs that directly impact students and families. So these are just some of the ways that the state legislature is not only trying to improve mental health, but helping to address the crisis that we are facing for so many young people in our communities when it comes to figuring out how to address these things. I just want to remind everybody again that you can press *3 on your keypad if you would like to participate and have a question that you'd like asked. We already got a lot of great ones coming in. I also want to highlight for everyone that in addition to doing this great call with Christine, my office and I are working with the Child Guidance Resource Center to do a mental health resource fair on Friday, November 17th at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And that is at the Child Guidance Resource Center in Havertown, Pennsylvania, right in the district. We're excited to be there, and we hope you'll come out and see what great resources we have throughout the southeast of Pennsylvania to support you and your family and your mental health needs. So I think that we are finally at the point of taking some of our questions from our audience. So I want to thank everybody who's tuning in, opening it up. As I said, press *3 if you have a question on your keypad to participate. So Jason, who do we have up first?
Thank you, Senator. We have Timothy. Timothy, you are live with Senator Cappelletti.
I'm from Havertown, Senator Cappelletti, and I pose the question to Christine in regards to mental health. And if you had someone who is unaware or in self-denial of how they are in regards to like their depression or anything else that we're talking about, how would you go about approaching these people or love? What is the first step to take?
Yeah, that's a tough one, and that happens quite a bit, that people are in denial about what's going on with themselves. I'm assuming that you've tried, sort of explaining what you're seeing, and that's just not working. But what I would suggest is, you can keep talking about it, which I think you should, and identifying, things that you're seeing that seem to be problematic behaviors. But more importantly, I think it might be helpful for you to sort of join some of these support groups where other people are struggling with those same things. I have sat in on this family-to-family group support group that we've been doing here, and I am amazed at the stories that I hear and how helpful people are to each other in terms of things that they've tried that have worked or things that they've tried that have failed, and just the overall support that people are feeling from being with other people who are struggling with the same thing that you are.
Thank you for that great question, Tim. We appreciate you reaching out. Jason, who's up next?
Senator, next we have Tatiana. Tatiana, you are live with the Senator.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. The question is basically also for mental disorder situation. It's good we have a lot of support and group support and family support. Most of them are oriented for parents with children. Like, I also have a child, but the thing is she's 32 years old. So the children growing and they becoming adults would not function very well. And they're not eligible for any type of disabilities because they're considered adults and functional, but in reality they are not. And that's where we have the high suicidal rate and drug abuse. These people simply can't find themselves in the society. There is not any program to provide them with some type of community for by age group maybe, because they're already like not really children, and some work possibilities. So to keep them busy, give them all the street and give them some point in life that they can feel like they can function. So that particular structure is completely absent. What could be done for them, some place of work?
I think part of that got cut off, but I think you were asking about what services could be would be available for that. And I'd just like to say that there are, I mean, I don't know if you're in Montgomery County, but in Montgomery County, there are several resources at the community behavioral health centers that could help with that. Now, if you know, the person's not willing to go, that's a different struggle, but there are some services that would be able to help in terms of, you know, I think you had mentioned bipolar. There's definitely some services that are available. And they're, depending on where you're located, I could give you numbers to that. But what I would suggest is that maybe call our office tomorrow so that we can know where you're located and link you up with the closest service provider.
Thank you so much, Tatiana, for that great question. And it's also something I would look into how the state might be able to support expanding the services and the programs that that Christine is talking about right now. Jason, who's our next person?
Sarah, we have Laura from Gladwine. Laura, you are on with Senator Capiletti.
Yes, hi. My name is Laura. I'm from Gladwine. My question is about whether there are resources in our community. I mean, I'm in Lower Merion for, like, grief and loss counseling where, you know, I have four children. One of my kids, I mean, a few of his friends have committed suicide. And, you know, it's the dealing with the loss of that. You know, he's been depressed, of course, and you know, they also lost their dad this summer. So my children are 17. I have an 18-year-old, then 17, 15, and 13. And I was recommended to a place called Peter's Place in Wayne, which is a nonprofit, but their teenage program is full, and they don't have room. So I think this is something a lot of people are dealing with right now, losing a loved one, you know, whether it is to suicide or some other cause. And, you know, I'm asking for resources on that topic as well, because it can cause mental illness, anxiety, and all of that.
Yeah, Laura, thank you for your question. You know, the one place that I can think of, and again, I'm very new to knowing the resources in Montgomery County, but since you mentioned Lower Merion, there is a Lower Merion Counseling Services, and I don't know if you've tried them, but they might be able to provide you with some resources. But I also will invite you to call our office tomorrow so that we can, you know, figure out some other resources as well.
Thank you so much, Laura, and I just want to offer my sincerest condolences and support for what your children are going through and figuring out how to manage that kind of grief at a young age. It must be terribly difficult. So I just want to say thank you for being here and connect with NAMI, with Christine tomorrow. Feel free to reach out to my office as well if you need additional support or help finding things. Jason, who do we have next?
Senator, we'll go to Philip. Philip, you are live with the senator.
Yeah, my name is Philip. I'm currently at work. I work for PennDOT Safety Patrol, and I'm positioned up in Stowe right now. I really appreciate hearing all about some mental health. I'm currently... I have a daughter who's going through rehab for addictions, you know, controlled substance. And honestly, I am going through the family therapy with her, and I have a daughter, another daughter, who just is like digging in her heels, refuses to deal and become part of this, because she's raising her sister's kids, and they live with me. And I'm wondering how we...
All right, Doug, have you signed in? Or she too?
How we approach that. I mean, because, like, my daughter's homeless, and she's just got this, at times, hopeless and helpless kind of attitude. And it's really hard for me to watch. And I'm wondering... What other resources are there? I mean, I'm trying to do the right thing by my adult child, and it's a struggle. I guess. There's so many things that are going on right now in this world. It's just it's really hard, and I appreciate what you do. Hey, thank you.
Yeah, so thank you for sharing that. You know, I'm sorry that you're going through that. Addiction is a very, very challenging thing to deal with. And it's very hard to get people into services if they don't want to be there. You know, again, I can speak a little bit to what options are out there. Again, I need to check with what agencies do this, but there are outreach services that go out to the communities and try to talk to folks who are homeless and in addiction and try to get them into services. There's also case management available. Again, these are services that, you know, your daughter would need to be willing to accept. And there are places where she can go to get, she can get housed. But again, like I said, these are things that she needs to be willing to do, you know, and those services can be hooked up for her as soon as she's ready. In terms of you and, you know, the rest of your family dealing with this, you guys need the support. And then, you know, some of these family support groups that I've been talking about may be helpful to you, because this is very hard to go through by yourself.
Thank you, Philip. I'd also like to encourage you to possibly reach out to my office. I have an office in Norristown and an office in Ardmore. You can call 610-768-4200. My staff can help find out who some of her caseworkers might be in some of these programs and figure out where she might be for housing and how else we could assist on some of these other programs to help help support her as she's struggling with addiction and as she's struggling to find her way through the system here, because we know how incredibly complicated this can all be. As a reminder to everyone who's still listening, you can press *3 on your keypad if you'd like to ask a question. We'll move on to the next one. Jason, who do we have next?
Senator, we have Debbie. Debbie, you are live with the Senator.
Okay, hello, and thank you for hosting this. Senator, this may be a question more for you, but this is about medications for these mental illnesses, and when generics are not available because of supply chain issues, and this happens quite often, your insurance company then refuses to pay for the brand name, and people cannot obtain their mental health medications. And I don't know what's happening at the state level about this, but it's certainly no one's fault that there are supply chain issues and these medications are not available in generic.
No, that's a great question. Christine, do you have any thoughts on how on what's out there to help in the interim while I contemplate legislatively what we might be able to do?
Yeah, I mean, this really is a tough one. I mean, she's not wrong that there are some supply chain issues and, you know, people aren't always getting the medications they need. I mean, I think at this point, you know, as far as you can advocate, you know, through your insurance company, you know, we'd be certainly willing to help with that advocacy if needed, if it would be helpful. But yes, this is definitely a struggle. And I think there's just more money is needed in the mental health system so that this doesn't happen to people.
Absolutely, Christine. And Debbie, I'll say for my part, as a state senator, I'm going to talk to my colleagues on what we can do. I am a member of the Pharmacy Caucus, and we have a meeting coming up, so I'm going to bring that up, and it's about how we can work together with some of our smaller pharmacies to make some changes to, like, the pharmacy benefit managers and things like that. And I know that we can also do things that are, or legislate things that would require insurances to cover specifically a variety of, medications and what does that look like. So that's something that's been on the table talked about, but I'm going to bring it up in this light, knowing that mental health and mental health crises have really kind of, come to light and become a much bigger concern for my colleagues and I. And see if we can work on something that makes Pennsylvania, at least here in Pennsylvania, better for mental health medication issues. So thank you so much for bringing that up. I appreciate it. Jason, who do we have next?
Senator, we have Marlene. Marlene, you are live with Senator Cappelletti.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I lost my husband about 15 months ago. I'm 82 years old. It's so lonely at night. I just can't stand to be here. I was wondering if anybody needs anybody for a part-time job, I'm willing. I just can't live without him. We were married 61 years, and he's just part of my life, and I miss him so much. Please, can anybody help me?
Hi, Marlene, and I'm really sorry to hear about that. Thank you for sharing that. I invite you to call any of the helplines that I discussed earlier. We have a helpline here. There's also a helpline that Access Services provides. And I'll just give you that number again. That's 855-715-8255. Please reach out. There are people there that would love to talk to you.
In my life. Oh, I just need help. Thank you so much for listening to me.
Well, thank you for joining us, Marlene, and finding and being able to reach out to us. We're so glad that you were here and that we were able to talk to you about what's important to you. And hopefully you'll call one of those numbers and we'll get you the support that you need. This is just a reminder to everyone one more time. We're coming up with about 20 minutes left. We would love to hear from you guys about anything that you're struggling with. Press *3 if you would like to join our conversation. Jason, do we have anybody else on the line?
Senator, we did get some questions emailed to us earlier. We have James from West Conshohocken asked, in what ways can you help deconstruct the stigma around reaching out to people you know for mental health support?
That's a great question, Christine. How do we break stigma?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's challenging, but that's exactly what NAMI is trying to do. Our goal here is to break the stigma of mental illness. I think that one thing that I found helpful with people who are very uncomfortable talking about it is, and especially if they're young, is to talk about some of the Hollywood stars or famous people that have, told their story. In politics, just for example, Senator Fetterman has been very vocal about his struggles with mental illness. Sometimes that helps people with just understanding that everybody goes through it. So I think it depends on who the person is or what your audience is, but I think sometimes relying on stories that you've heard through, social media or so forth of stars or, political figures or whoever might be experiencing that. I think that sometimes breaks down that. But again, we would, if there's specific questions that, that somebody might have, I welcome, you know, call tomorrow to our office, and, you know, I can sort of think through in more detail about what might be helpful.
And I'll just highlight that we've recently had some amazing athletes that I know I look up to. I'm thinking Simone Biles, Coco Gauff, you know, a few others that have been very outspoken about addressing their own mental health issues and taking time to take care of themselves. And it makes me very happy to know that we have people that are inspirations that our younger generation is looking up to, who's embracing mental health and that acknowledging that we all go through stuff and we all need help and support sometimes. Jason, do we have anybody else on the line or any additional questions from that have been emailed in?
Senator, we have Misty on the line. Misty, you are live with Senator Cappelletti.
Hi. I just have a quick question. With this meeting, I'm in Delaware. Is there any way that we could get a handout of today's meeting?
So we won't necessarily have a handout, but you can email my office at cappelletti@pasenate.com, and we can send you materials that way. And we will also have the recording of this call available on our website after we're done here tonight. It's pasenatorcappelletti.com/TTH to download it.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you, Misty. Jason, anyone else?
Senator, we have a question from Justin from Belmont Hills. He wrote in, I've lost two people who were very important to me to suicide. What are some ways to normalize the conversation of getting help before it's too late? The people they leave behind are never the same.
Yeah, I think that some of the things I talked about earlier would be important to start talking about. I think we need to be having conversations with our kids, with other adults, talking about when we're not feeling good, and that it needs to be a normal thing for people to say, I'm feeling very depressed and I'm very sad and I'm afraid I might hurt myself. That conversation needs to be okay to say. And I think the more we talk about it, the more it'll be more commonplace. And it's when we don't talk about it that people feel alone, and then they take action and they hurt themselves. And so we should be checking in with each other regularly. Even if you don't think anything's going on, check in with them. Because sometimes all of the things that I talk about, sometimes there's people out there that don't exhibit any of those things but are still feeling very sad. And so I think it's important for us to check in with people all the time. And it's never too early. A lot of people shy away from this conversation with young children. You don't have to say, do you think you're going to kill yourself? But you can ask a young child, how are you feeling? What's going on? How was your day? What things are you struggling with emotionally? Those types of conversations can happen with young children without, you know, talking about, are you going to kill yourself? But I think we need to be having these conversations regularly with everyone that we know.
I agree, Christine. It's great, especially when we talk to our young people about mental health and how are they feeling, and normalizing a full spectrum of emotions. And it is okay to struggle once in a while, and to know that the loved one who's asking you about that is there to be a support system, and to make sure that they're aware of resources to help them as they get older. It's so incredibly helpful. I think it looks like, Jason, that we have time for one more.
Absolutely, Senator. We'll go to Vera. Vera, you are live with the Senator.
Hello, everyone. Mine is a comment. When my daughter was in middle school, she came home late from school one day and told me a girl that she was familiar with, not necessarily one of her close friends, was giving her a bracelet and giving away some of her personal things. What exactly she said to my daughter, I don't remember because my daughter's now 50. But I was so concerned about this. I couldn't sleep all night. And the next day I called the principal and said to him, because she came home from school, I thought she may have made that story up. So when I called the principal, I said, I'm calling you thinking that my daughter possibly lied to me, but I am concerned about this situation. So sometime later he called me back and said that he called the girl's parents to come in, and he said to me, you literally saved her life.
Oh, Vera, thank you so much for sharing that story. That is so moving to know that you knew the signs then, and you stepped in and you followed your instincts, and you saved a young person's life because of things like that. Wow. Well, everyone, I think that that is an incredible story for us to end on, to know that if we all just pay a little bit of attention to one another, we can help each other out and support each other through some of the hardest times, and we can hopefully, you know, stop one more person from being a victim of suicide. Christine, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, everyone. I thank you again for joining us. If you did not have a chance to ask a question, you can remain on the line and you can leave your voicemail for me and my staff, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. If you have any additional questions, you can call my office in Ardmore at 610-896-2832. You can visit my website, tasenatorcappelletti.com. I want to say thank you again for this incredible discussion, Christine, an executive director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness in Montgomery County. You provided us with so much information this evening. And if our neighbors want to contact you directly with specific questions, remind them one more time how they can reach out to NAMI in Montgomery County.
Yeah, the phone number is 215-361-7784. And please call. We have a lot of resources that we can give to you, as well as, you know, education. And there's also opportunities to do volunteer work here. So if you're interested in that, we can hook you into that process as well.
Thank you again for joining us, everyone. Have a good night.